Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website, that's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office at 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. Listen to the word of the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. When Jesus came into the world, he shocked the religionists of his day by calling God his father. He said, the Father hath sent me. He said, the Father and I are one. No one knows the Father, only the Son. Now, in the Old Testament, God was known by many names to his ancient people. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, he said, my name is Elohim, the plural of majesty. He talked about being El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the God who's more than enough. He said, you can call me Yahweh. That's the unspeakable holy name of God. You can call me Adonai. That means master. He identified himself as Jehovah Jireh, or as they would say in Hebrew, Jehovah Yireh. All he was saying is that I am the God who sees your needs, and I will provide for them. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh, the God who sanctifies us. Jehovah Nisi, our banner, our sign of conquest. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And Jehovah Shammah, the God who chooses to dwell among his people. But nobody ever called God his father until Jesus came on the scene and said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. It was in the name of the Father that Jesus performed miracles. Jesus healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He made the lame to walk. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Jesus turned the water into wine. He walked on the water. Jesus performed miracles and he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 10, 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, verse 1, it says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, he's in the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to set the captives free. But he said, I've done all these things in the name of the Father. And after almost every miracle he performed, he lifted his eyes toward heaven and he said something like this, thank you, Father, for hearing me. When I pray, I know you always hear me. He preached the good news in the name of the Father. He brought hope to the hopeless. He helped the helpless. Everywhere he went, he rescued the perishing because he preached this good news. How many of you have received the good news of the gospel? Hallelujah. It's good news because it means that we have eternal life. It's good news because it means that we have passed from death unto life. It's good news because our names have been written down in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. And only God can do that. But then he would say something like this, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see that he does. Jesus Christ went to the cross, but before he was crucified between two thieves, He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In 1 John chapter 4, and I preached about this last week, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it also says in Galatians 4 that in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You're no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. And you and I can say, Abba, Father. He is our Father. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, I want that to sink in just for a moment. Now, every time I think about God the Father, I have to think about my earthly father. And I had a wonderful earthly father. He's gone home to be with the Lord now, and I miss him. But I can tell you that he was a good father. He loved me. He loved all of his children. He loved my mother. He was a good provider. My dad was a good listener. He was a disciplinarian. And sometimes we wonder why God reproves us, but the Word of God says that only a father who loves his children will discipline them or reprove them. And sometimes God has to correct us. Amen? But he still loves us. But with all of that said, I know that my father was human and he made mistakes. My heavenly father never makes mistakes and he never fails. Come on, somebody. Amen? And God said, while you're thinking about it, think about the spirit that I put in your heart when you became a father. You know, unlike some people, I had to wait for 17 years to become a father. And when God finally made that happen for me, it changed my life forever. I had a love in my heart for our daughter like none other. I had never loved anybody or anything the way that I loved her. And over the years, as I saw her grow, I was her protector. I was her friend. I was her confidant. I can remember the first time a little boy broke her heart. And she had a little boyfriend, and they were about 8 years old, and she really liked him. And he said he really liked her, but he decided one Sunday he would sit with another little girl in church and not her. And she came home with big tears running down her cheeks. And she said, Daddy, he doesn't like me anymore. He likes Susie. You know what I thought first thing? I'm going to break his legs. Now, isn't that something? Here I am in my 40s, and I'm going to break an 8-year-old's legs because he rejected my daughter. I loved her that much. I realized, I know I'm over-exaggerating, you know, a little bit. I didn't have any intention to break his legs, but I had such a love for her that I wanted to protect her. I didn't want her to cry. I didn't want her to feel bad. Over the years, I've seen her hurt. And I thought, Lord, if I could take that pain for her, I would do that. Can I tell you something? 750 years before Christ was even born in Bethlehem's manger, our Father said, I'm willing to reject my Son. I'm willing to allow him to suffer so that sons and daughters can be born into the kingdom of God. I'm willing to allow him to pay the ultimate price just so that I can have many sons and daughters. And don't ever deny God the right to work in your life, because he always has your best interest at heart. In fact, the Word of God says that if he gave his Son, Jesus, how shall he also not with him freely give us all things. Peter said, according to his divine power, he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He said that he would not reject us, but that he would give to us the very desires of our heart. Years ago, somebody told me, there's a day coming in your life when you will have everything you want. I said, really? Everything I want? He said, that's right. But he said, the only problem is this. Your heart has to be right before God, and you have to delight the Lord in your ways. And what he said to me basically was this. You can have everything that you want when you get to the place that God is all you want. Amen? And God said, when you get to that place with me, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. When you get to that place with me, I will supply every spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, and material need that you have in your life. No wonder Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This morning, I don't know what you need, but I can tell you that if God had to take up the streets of gold and sell the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and mortgage the mansions of heaven and put all the angels on half ration, whatever God had to do, he would do it for his children. And God said, you are my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's time for you to know who you are. You are a child of God, and as such, you are a precious treasure in his sight. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, yeah, go ahead, Anthony, blow that whistle. Retired cop right down there still got his whistle. You gave me one and my granddaughter took it. I don't know where it went to. But I want you to turn to somebody and say, neighbor, you don't know who I am. And then tell them, I am a child of God. Now go ahead and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is my provider. God is my provider. If ye then be evil, Jesus said, know how to give good things to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Jesus said, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that you need, God has, and he's willing to give it to you. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. Jesus also said, talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So that everything that you need to make you holy, happy, and healthy, God will give it to you because you are a child of God. Now somebody said, well, I'm going through a tough time. Where's God now? I'll tell you where he is. He's where he's always been. Standing right by his word. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. How many of you know that's true? Now, let me tell you why it happens. It happens because we live in a world that is cursed. Because of the sin of Adam, the world has been cursed, everything about it. You could get in your car this afternoon and go drive to see somebody, and the next thing you know, a crazy person that's drunk could run a stoplight and hit you broadside. And you know what I'm talking about. Linda says amen because it happened to her last Sunday. And so I'm telling you, we live in a world that is cursed. The things that we eat and drink, even the air we breathe, These things can sometimes work against us because there are carcinogens in our food and in our air and in the soil. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray over your meal and ask the Lord to sanctify it. That's what the Bible says. It's just you're going too far when you ask God to take the calories out of that banana split. But everything around us is cursed. Amen? And that's why bad things happen. But when they happen, listen to what the word of the Lord says. God says that He's near to those whose hearts are breaking. God will move in close to you. In fact, you'll never be closer to God, child of God, than when you're hurting and when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and when you're experiencing some trial. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation. And that word temptation doesn't just mean a temptation to sin. What it means is a trial. He's talking about vicissitudes. He's talking about challenges in life. He said there's no difficulty in life that has taken you, but such as is common to man. We're all in the same boat. We're all tested. We're all tried. But he said, God will also provide a way with that temptation, with that difficulty, for you to overcome. You will either find that God strengthens your back, or God will make a way to escape, but God will always bring you through your difficulties. He promised to make all grace abound toward us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God said in His word, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a power working in you, child of God, that will cause you always to triumph over the enemy through Jesus Christ. Because you are more than a conqueror. Amen? God will always provide for you, even if He has to use the devil to do it. During the Depression, there was a godly woman, had several children. She was a widow. And she ran out of groceries. Anybody here ever been there? You've run out of food. You just don't know what you're going to do because you don't have money to buy food. And nowadays, I'm so glad to tell you that we have a food pantry and a clothes closet, and there are many other churches that are doing that, and the government has programs. So we live in a country where there's a safety net. But back then in the Depression, everybody was in trouble. She'd run out of food, run out of groceries, run out of money. And she was a praying woman, and she went out on her porch to pray. She didn't care who heard her. She was like Daniel, and she prayed, oh God, I want you to provide for my family. And Lord, this is what we need. And she gave God her grocery list. She said, Lord, I need a gallon of milk. I need a dozen eggs. And she went on and told God what she needed to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she said, now God, in order for me to feed my children this week, this is how much I need. This is the quantity that I need. Well, there was an atheist next door. And he was tired of hearing her pray. He went down to the grocery store and bought everything on her list. Put it on the porch. So the next morning when she came out to pray, there it was. She went through it like a kid at Christmas. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the gallon of milk. Lord, I thank you for bacon and eggs. Lord, I thank you because you gave me some roast beef. Thank you, Lord, just like I asked you. You gave me some onions and potatoes. And she went down the list, and the man came out of his house and walked around to her porch and said, hey, stop praying. I want to tell you, I'm the one that bought the groceries, and I don't even believe in God. She never stopped praying. She said, I thank you, God, for giving to me what I need and using the devil to do it. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, God will supply your need. You believe that? Say amen. Our Father is our provider. But our Father has given to us something that money cannot buy. He's given to us eternal life. Jesus stated it like this, John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I have in my possession eternal life. I don't get it when I die. I got it right now. How many of you have eternal life right now? You know it. If something were to happen right now and your heart stopped beating, where would you go? I would go into the arms of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I would live with the Lord forever in eternity, in a place where every step is a thrill and every moment is a jubilee, and every home is a mansion, and every person is a holiness man and woman. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I'm going to a place where God solves every problem and every worry comes to an end. Hallelujah! I'm going to a place that God has prepared, and I have eternal life right now. How many of you have somebody that has gone on to be with the Lord? Let me see your hand. Somebody you knew they loved God and now they're gone. I look around this congregation and I miss seeing some people that were faithful. They loved God. They served God. They prayed in this altar. They would fast when we fasted. They would read their Bible. They would come on Wednesday night. They were involved in ministry. They serve the Lord, and God called them home. I miss them, but they're in a much better place. My daddy used to say it like this. He said, son, heaven ain't second best to nothing. And that's a man that was healed of spinal meningitis, cancer, and leukemia. He knew what it was to be healed, but when he was in his last days, he told me, he said, don't ever think that heaven is second best to anything. I'm going to a place the Lord has prepared for us. But we miss them, right? But the truth is that we were never intended to stay on this earth forever the way we are. We were born in sin. David said, I was shapen in sin, in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. These bodies of ours are corruptible, but we are going to have bodies that are incorruptible. They're sown in weakness, but they'll be raised in power. They're sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Sown a natural body, but raised a spiritual body. And while I'm enjoying the journey, and I love being your pastor, and I love living in Richmond, Virginia, I got to tell you, where I'm going is better than where I've been. Hallelujah! Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to see Jesus one of these days. How about you? I mean to see him face to face. I've never seen the Lord. As much as I love him and as long as I've served him, I've never seen him. And I don't think it's really that important. Somebody said, well, I don't know. Did he have blue eyes or brown eyes? Did he have dark skin or was he fair skin? Did he have long hair or short hair? Who gives a holy hoot? Amen. The truth is he came and that's all that matters. Doesn't matter if he's beautiful or ugly. Didn't matter what he looked like in his face. It didn't matter what is the color of his skin. I don't think that it matters how tall he was or how short he was, whether he was thin or fat. It doesn't matter to me at all. All that matters is that God sent his son into this world and he came to seek and to save that which was lost and he found me. Hallelujah. As some people think Jesus had a flat top or a buzz cut and blue eyes, and some people think that Jesus had a natural and that he was a black man. Some people think that Jesus was draped in the flag and he was all about the establishment. Some people think, and they're so religious, they can't see outside of their religion. They think Jesus had to be my religion. He was a Baptist. Jesus was a Methodist. Jesus was an Episcopalian. Jesus was a Presbyterian. I want to tell you, Jesus wasn't any denomination. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He was the Word of God. Amen. We made all the denominations, not Jesus. Come on, somebody. He was the very Son of God and fully man. But he died on that cross so that you and I could have eternal life. And I've just come by to report to you, I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of these days, I'm going to see him. One of these days, as close as I ever came, I felt him walk up behind me one time. I remember the lowest time in my life when we lost a son and I was all alone in church praying. We'd had a large group of people that prayed every morning up until that time. And I don't know, people are fickle. People say, well, I don't know what to say, so I'm just not coming around. Or I don't know, I might say the wrong thing. And I was expecting the church to be full that morning, 6 o'clock. I come in, I'm the only one there. And I got on my knees to pray, and I'm more complaining than I am praying. And I'm criticizing God, and I say, God, well, I know that you didn't do this, but you're great and mighty, and you could have stopped it, so you must be complicit with the devil, and I don't understand what's going on here. And in my pain and perplexity, I could hear him walking up behind me. Hallelujah. I was just frozen in place, but I could feel, oh, blessed God, I feel it right now. I could feel him lay his hand on my shoulder. I didn't turn around and look, but I knew he was in the house, and he touched me and said to my spirit, everything's going to be all right. 6 months from that time, we adopted the most beautiful little brown-eyed baby girl you ever saw. I've been going on for Jesus ever since then. I'm going to see my son as soon as I pass through the gates of that city. And God is still God. Hallelujah. And he's still a good, good father. Come on, somebody. Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.